What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, welcome back to The Daily Drive. I am back again. I teased this on the previous episode that I was going to talk about storytelling and how storytelling works. And this is important because it applies again. And this is going to go up on three feeds, on the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the Fallout Lorecast, and the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. The storytelling in each of those series is something that evolves over time. And with video games, it's because you have multiple writers over multiple games, and even different people who own the IPs potentially. When it comes to the Lord of the Rings, you have the original stories as written by J.R.R. Tolkien. You have the description of how he wrote those stories and greater expansion of that universe by the publishing of the Silmarillion and then the Middle-earth series and all the other things that Christopher Tolkien put out. So kind of a secondary source with a lot of respect of the first source. But then even after that, you ended up with different variations on movies and books and comic books and video games, all sorts of other things. So in all of these situations, you end up with multiple authors working on those stories. And inevitably, like in the conversation we had about canonicity, that is going to come with people who disagree and have different opinions about the way the stories should have gone, or how you should or maybe shouldn't even expand those universes. Many people will latch on to a specific video game or a specific book, and they will say, this is all that there needs to be, and anything that's created after this doesn't exist in my mind. I don't consider it canon. Not only do I not consider it canon, but I also don't consider it to be viable in any fashion. It just shouldn't exist. And that's fine. I mean, you can have your opinions about anything. I mean, we all feel differently for different reasons. That's all. Your feelings are legitimate. It's okay to have, I mean, now you're a therapist. It's okay to have feelings. Feelings are legitimate. It's what you do with the feelings. But I think there's more to it. Let's talk about myths and legends. Myths and legends and fairy tales. When it comes to myths and legends, the way that myths and legends were passed down most of the time was not by a primary document that was then copied and passed on to other people, like the Bible, right? The Bible, the books of the Bible have been passed down and copied and recopied by monks and other scholars and typesetters, even with the printing press. The version of the Bible we have today has been multiply translated over multiple different languages and has been rewritten and copied down over and over and over again. And so usually that's what we think about. Or we think about, say, The Lord of the Rings. It had its first edition, and then it was republished. And it was republished again because it kept selling, kept selling, kept selling. And in the republishing, Tolkien would even go back and make little updates, especially with The Hobbit. But that's not how stories normally are handled. In fact, that is not actually how stories are handled, even in our culture today. Stories are things that we experience once, either through reading, through experiencing in a film or a video game, or somebody else tells us the story. And then the story gets passed on again through some other retelling, whether it's yours or somebody else's. Historically, this is considered word of mouth and the spreading of stories word of mouth. A wonderful example of this historically is the flood myth. Noah in the flood, and I mean, that's the biblical version, but you also have an even older version that the Hindu religion talks about in the Bhagavad Gita. I probably butchered the way that's actually said, but Gilgamesh was in a flood, and that's an even older story. In fact, scholars think that that's probably the oldest story, the oldest version of the flood story that we have. But the flood story exists in multiple cultures all over the place. And there's a good reason for that. Chances are, well, two things. Floods happen all the time. And so for different cultures to have similar stories about a flood wouldn't be ridiculous. But also, if the flood story is older than the Bible and the Old Testament can be dated back a few thousand years, and the Bhagavad Gita, which I, again, probably butchered, can be dated back another 1,000, 2,000 years before that, then maybe there's a common ancestor of that story, which means that that story could be tens of thousands of years old and could be passed down from generation to generation to generation. Now, what happens when you tell somebody a story? Well, they remember kind of the main points, but they don't remember other parts. Or maybe they retell the story and they change things because they like their version better. Or maybe they misremember something and fill in the gaps. Or maybe they leave things out completely. This is the way stories are engaged with, over and over and over again. This came to light for me. I was at a party with some friends. This is maybe 10 years ago at this point. And we're all hanging out and having drinks and things like that. And somebody happened to bring up the Star Wars, original Star Wars trilogy, the original movie even. And somebody else in the room said, oh yeah, I saw that like one time when I was like, I don't know, 8. And so we, the party became having her explain to us the plot of the original Star Wars movie that she hadn't seen since she was 8 years old. And it was amazing because some of the stuff was spot on, the stuff that's easy to remember, you know, like, oh, Luke Skywalker, and he's like a Jedi, but his dad was like a Jedi or something. And, you know, like that stuff all kind of was close, but then there are huge holes in the story. And all that's to say that this is the way storytelling works. When a story becomes popular enough, whether it's a flood story, whether it's the story of how Odin lost his eye, or it's the story of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, I think is a great example of this. When a story becomes popular enough, it becomes part of the social fabric of just our world. Everybody has kind of a general sense of the story, but they don't have a familiarity with every little detail. And as those stories move on, they get changed in things. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is a wonderful example. It came out over 200 years ago, the original book. About 100 years ago, the first movie was made of it. And since then, the character of Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, the monster, and a number of the characters that show up in that story reemerge in other stories. The details get reused and kind of mixed around and retold. And I believe that Frankenstein or Frankenstein's monster have appeared in over 100 different films in the last 100 and something years. Those characters have been recycled and they are now part of the fabric of our society. They belong to a larger class of popular monsters and monster stories and those kinds of things. But I don't think Mary Shelley would have expected that. I also think that if she had just published that book 40 years ago, that fans of that story would be very upset when people take elements of that story and change them in ways that don't actually match up with the original story. This is exactly the thing that happens when it comes to Fallout 1 and 2 or the original Elder Scrolls games and the fact that Elder Scrolls Online is different than those in some significant ways and expands on those ideas, or the Rings of Power series compared to Tolkien's original works. You're always going to have people who are upset that you are disrespecting, and sometimes in their own words, the original story. But that only happens when the original storyteller was alive close enough to our own lifetimes. Once you get far enough in the past, that disappears. Nobody's upset when you reuse Moby Dick. Nobody's upset when you reuse Frankenstein or Dracula, because those authors have been long dead. And that those stories have just kind of entered the fabric of our society, our language. And so my perspective on this is that if we fast forward 100 years, chances are the same things will happen to J.R.R. Tolkien or the Fallout games or the Elder Scrolls games. The kinds of things that become popular enough in our society will inevitably be passed around and retold, and people will just kind of have a general sense of what that thing is, but they will miss out on a lot of the details. And I guess some people would argue that that's not a good thing, that it disrupts the original story. It goes against the author's original intent, or it's disrespectful. Some people are really up in heck when the original Lord of the Rings films, not original Lord of the Rings films, but the Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings films came out. There are emails from the late 90s where people were talking about how he was disrespecting Tolkien's original vision, and it was improper to even do this because Tolkien was against the idea that these stories would make any sense as a movie, but he did it anyway. And I think this is one of the things, one of those situations where we have to compare the two versions. What happens if those movies didn't exist? What would happen if Fallout 1 and 2 fell into obscurity and Fallout 3 was never created because Bethesda never bought the rights to Fallout? Chances are, most of us would not even know those stories at all. Most of us might go, oh yeah, that's that old book on my dad or my grandfather's shelf. Oh yeah, that's that video game that my parents talk about, but nobody plays that anymore because it's kind of janky and old. The retelling of these stories, even though they do kind of break the lore sometimes or and make significant changes, it keeps them alive. How many people have gone in the last 25 years since the Lord of the Rings movies came out? How many people have gone and picked up one of the original books and read it? I bet most of the currently living fans of the Lord of the Rings have done that. How many people have played Fallout 3 or New Vegas or 4 or 76 and went back and tried Fallout 1 and Fallout 2? We wouldn't even have the TV show if things had happened that differently. So my point here is, the natural way we handle stories is by becoming part of the storytellers, by sharing those stories, by the stories passing on to other people. And every time that happens, other creatives will insert parts of themselves, parts of their own perspectives, into those stories. And the stories will take on a life of their own, beyond what the original creator intended. And that's okay. That is totally fine. Now, does that mean that it affects our perspective of what canonicity is, like I talked about in my previous episode? Absolutely. It absolutely does. And that's why defining canonicity can be pretty difficult. But I think the biggest, most important takeaway from this is, don't be upset when people handle stories the way that people have always handled stories for thousands and thousands of years. Because this is just who we are. This is what we do. And to kind of conclude this discussion, I'm going to add a little bit more to that. I think it's important that that's who we are and that's what we do. It allows us to take some personal ownership of those stories. The stories that we hold on to, the stories that we share, we do so because they made an impact in our lives. It's one of the reasons why fiction is so important. It allows us to take a step away from reality and then see reality more clearly through the lens of the story that we're engaging with, because it is distinct and different enough to give us an objective view of our own reality. That is an important thing. It's part of what it means to be a human being. It's part of the reason why we like hero stories, and hero stories inspire us to be better people. We're never going to become the Hulk and punch space aliens in the face or anything like that. But by reading a story about somebody who does fantastic things, we might step up and be more fantastic in our own lives. And I think that's important. And that doesn't happen without the retelling and the re-understanding of those stories through a subjective lens and
throughout time. And so it's just natural. And I have to wonder, in a few hundred years, what will the landscape of stories be like? Will we treat The Lord of the Rings like we treat Frankenstein? Will we? Probably. I mean, think about video game mashups. We have all these games with just characters from different IPs that are all mashed together to fight each other and this kind of thing. Is that canon? Maybe? No? Does it matter? Not really. On some level, if you enjoy the characters and they inspire you to be a better person and they bring joy to your life, then there's value there. And if they further inspire you to go back and check out the original material that they came from, then that brings respect to the original creators, to the original authors. And without that, so much would be forgotten. So that's storytelling on our daily drive. Thank you for tuning in again. I hope you're enjoying these. I'm going to get to some What If episodes. Don't worry. And if you have some recommendations for What If episodes on any of these topics, Lord of the Rings, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, or even other stuff, let me know. And jump onto the Discord, the Robots Radio Discord, and go into the channels for those different shows and leave a recommendation. I'm going to keep looking at all the different recommendations, and I'm going to tackle the ones that I feel like I have any interesting perspective on. And if you want to hear anything else from me, let me know. I would love to hear your thoughts, and especially about the topics that I talk about. So thanks for tuning in again. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll see you again soon.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.